Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, hosting the Asian Festival, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. February 1st. It's a day of hands-on activities for kids and families with music, dance, martial arts demonstrations, food vendors preparing authentic Asian dishes, a gallery of bonsai trees, and other attractions. Details and ticket info at asianfestivalsa.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Next month, Texas Public Radio will be relocating to downtown. We're going to have a spiffy new building. It's being constructed right now, right next to the San Pedro Creek Project. Very excited. We're going to be next to the Alameda Theater. TPR's move downtown is just one small example of all the many things that are happening in the city's central district. UTSA is a big part of that story, the commercial development all around the area. And the area neighborhoods, how are they feeling the impact from this? And what's being done to coordinate and plan for downtown? Who's looking out for you? There is a downtown regional area center plan. What's in it? What are their goals? What's the future for our downtown? You can call in with your questions and comments. We want to hear from you. 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this afternoon. We're joined by Jacob Floyd, City Planning Coordinator and Project Manager for the Downtown Plan. Jacob, good to have you.
That's good to be here.
Benjamin Perry's here. He's Assistant Vice President for Facilities Planning and Development and University Architect at the University of Texas at San Antonio, member of the Downtown Development Planning Team. Ben Perry, good to have you.
Great to be here.
Also with us, Charisse Rohrer Allegrini is the president of the Lavaca Neighborhood Association, member of the city's planning commission. Charisse.
Thank you very much.
And Belinda Hartwig is a vice president of economic development at the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce and member of the planning team. It's great to have all of you with us again. And the number is 210-614-8980. Jacob Floyd, city planning coordinator, tell me about this plan. What's in it?
So the Downtown Area Regional Center Plan was adopted by City Council back on December 5th of last year. And it's one of 13 regional center plans that the SA Tomorrow Comprehensive Plan called for when it was adopted back in 2016. This plan was done through a community engagement effort where we learned what the community wants. And that's an area that's inclusive, prosperous, and healthy. But also where the local culture and landscape is reflected in future improvements.
So that's a lot. Okay. So someone's got to put that down on paper. How do you flesh that out? How do you turn that into what we're going to be living with downtown?
So the plan includes recommendations across a variety of topics, everything from future land use, mobility, housing and economic development issues, to what kind of amenities we have in the future. We put together a great planning team, over 30 members were part of it, and that's made up of people and stakeholders from the downtown area, both neighborhood association representatives, as well as major institutions and stakeholders like the Chamber of Commerce and UTSA.
So what if we didn't have this plan? What if we just said, okay, everybody, go to town, go to downtown, knock yourself out, do what you got to do. Why not just do that?
So San Antonio is expecting a lot of growth, over a million people by 2040, both people moving here and then people that are already here having families. Without a cohesive guide for decision making, such as this plan, that would all happen in an uncoordinated fashion. So this plan outlines where most of the growth should go, potentially what it should look like, how it should be arranged, how do you get to it? You know, do you drive there? Do you walk there? Do you take a bus or do you ride a bike? And a number of other issues.
And it incorporates things like cultural sensitivity, because, I mean, downtown is basically one massive cultural crater. It's just full of history wherever you look, if you know what you're looking at. That's got to be part of it as well.
Right. Downtown is the original heart of the city. It's the economic, cultural, and civic heart of San Antonio.
So UTSA, downtown UTSA, big part of this plan. There's an expansion plan for downtown UTSA. I've heard a little bit about this. Ben Perry, this is your thing. What's happening with downtown UTSA?
Well, downtown UTSA is expanding in the near future by the addition of a National Security Collaboration Center and School of Data Science building that's slated to be located on San Pedro Creek. And so we're hoping that we'll get a design consultant on that very soon this year, early this year, and hope to see some movement on that very soon near the end of the year.
From what I've seen on these maps, that right now downtown UTSA is on the other side of the highway, and it's an old cattleman square, but you are going to be building into the other part of downtown, kind of around where Market Square is, and not just right on the old San Pedro Creek, but also there's a lot of activity, right?
Well, our master plan, which we just completed a few months ago, actually outlines our growth strategy, and it does show those areas you just mentioned as phased strategic growth for the university. And so, yes, we will be developing those as our academic enterprise dictates, and as we increase in our enrollment. The president has a vision that we will have 45,000 students by 2028. And so it's a very ambitious and exciting vision, downtown plays a huge part in that.
So I'm trying to imagine what that's going to look like, because it's going to be the downtown that we know, and also now with the overlay of a college campus, right?
That's right. I think it's really just going to be this fun, vibrant, exciting, energized part of downtown. You know, you look at downtown and everyone knows we have the Riverwalk and we have the Alamo and we have the Missions and have all kinds of just exciting neighborhoods with lots of history, as you mentioned, lots of culture. And UTSA expanding in downtown really just brings that presence of the students and professors and researchers that really have not been there before in a large amount, and I think it's just going to energize that part of downtown.
Charisse Rohr Allegrini, okay, is that right?
You got it.
Okay, great. You're the president of the Lavaca Neighborhood Association. Lavaca is the oldest neighborhood that we have in San Antonio, what are you hearing here?
So we have participated in the planning of this for a few years now, and I want to give a shout out to our board members that participated, Daryl Olenbush and Nick Meldy, who are both architects, and then Joan Carabin, who's a tireless supporter of our neighborhood, had participated with Jacob and the team from the early days. And two of them, Joan and Daryl, had been involved in developing our original Lavaca neighborhood plan 20-something years ago. And so it was very important that the elements that the neighborhood felt were critical be incorporated into the whole regional plan. And overall, I would say that we're very happy with it. And having a regional plan is useful for us because it helps to put our neighborhood in the context of the surrounding neighborhoods.
So if without a plan like this, there might be more concern that your neighborhood could be just absorbed, you know, borgified into this downtown corporate landscape?
Not so much the corporate landscape, but there's concern about development. We are predominantly a residential community with some commercial development on the corridors, and we support that. We like being where we are near all the commercial activity. But there is a move to develop a lot of this area. And what is critical is that the plan, while not prescriptive, does provide a guide to developers. So if they're looking at a property, they say, okay, this property calls for 20 units per half acre.
Right.
Can we build what we want to build?
Okay, so we're going to talk about that, because about high density development and what that means for areas like neighborhoods like yours and other neighborhoods involved in this. Our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about developing downtown. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about downtown San Antonio. If you've been down there recently, you may have noticed that there's a lot of barriers and detours and scaffolding. There's some new buildings, too, and they're pretty big and awesome. What's going on down there, and who's planning all of this? Well, there is some coordination going on. And who is at the table? Who has a voice? And hopefully it's all of the stakeholders. But if you've got a question or a comment, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. When we were going to break, we were hearing from Charisse, who is the president of the Lavaca Neighborhood Association. So just talk a little bit more about, you know, how we respect these residential areas like your neighborhood while we're seeing this rocket-fueled growth with the commercial areas.
Well, that's why the plan is so important. The residents participated in the developing of the plan and came to an agreement. Not everybody was 100% happy, but that's how compromise works. But we came to an agreement about what would be appropriate for development in certain areas. And so ideally, when someone wants to develop an area, they say, okay, this says 20 units per acre is what the community already agreed to, therefore 40 units, whatever it might be. Therefore, basically the path of least resistance for a developer is to go along with what's already in the plan because they know the community is already going to support it.
So that's the strength of having a plan.
Ideally.
All right. Well, let me go over to Belinda Hartwig, Vice President of Economic Development for the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce. You're a member of this planning team. What role does the Chamber of Commerce have? Who are you representing?
It's an excellent question. We are an organization that consists of more than 2,000 business organizations in the San Antonio area. So we have a very diverse group of members, and we want to ensure that we inform them of everything that's happening in our community and also give them a voice in advocacy. In addition to that, we have been a longtime neighbor downtown. So we are at the corner of Commerce and Alamo, and we have been for decades. So we are also a stakeholder on our own.
I'm going to listen to one of our voicemails, and let's give it a play.
There needs to be respect for the neighborhoods around downtown to not get overtaken by commercial development, which would make downtown totally obsolete in terms of visitors coming to the city and not being able to feel like this is a residential and a commercial city. The exploitation of downtown neighborhoods is paramount to stop in order for the downtown to maintain and for San Antonio to maintain its cultural identity on many levels.
Okay, so Jacob Floyd's with us, the city planning coordinator and project manager for this downtown plan. And so it seems like what we're hearing from this call is we know what has made downtown successful so far. It's having a great pulse from surrounding neighborhoods, use from residents, and let's not build a downtown that's going to eliminate that. And so how are you doing that?
Right. So respect for our neighborhoods is one of the key elements of this plan, I'd say. We want to make sure that any new growth in the neighborhoods happens in a respectful way, in a way that's sensitive to the context of that neighborhood itself. That's done through policies like the land use plan that says where high density development should go and where more neighborhood oriented development should go. It could be done through design guidelines that say if this happens in a neighborhood, for Lavaca, for instance, it should look in a way that's similar to the development that's already there.
And we should make clear that this plan is not just for Commerce Street and Houston Street. And this is a big area, 6 square miles. It includes Dignity Hill, Roosevelt, all the way down to the historic Missions. So that's a lot of residential area.
Right. Yeah, it's the King William, Lavaca, Lone Star, Roosevelt Park, and Downtown Residents Association, as well as parts of Dignity Hill and Denver Heights, and the Historic West Side Neighborhoods Coalition. So it's, like you said, it's over 6 square miles. The population today is around 25,000 people, and we expect to see that grow.
And Ben Perry with Downtown UTSA, member of the Downtown Development and Planning Team. Are y'all working with neighborhoods? I know you were talking about a bridge that goes into one of the neighborhoods, like a footbridge?
Yes, there is a footbridge planned to go over the railway there, and we hope to have that in the future to connect to the west side. But something that we've done right away is to establish a west side community center that's right across the street from Guadalupe Theater. And our goal there is to really be plugged in, to be hearing from the community, and to be a member of the community, and make sure that there's no surprises and everything's very well coordinated and understood.
So, I mean, does the vision for having a UTSA downtown, it's not having this insulated institution right in the middle of our town, but a member of our community and actually an asset, the things that are happening around downtown is an asset for the university, and the university is an asset for everything that's happening around downtown?
Yes, sir, absolutely. The vision of the downtown campus is one that's a porous campus, as our president has articulated, one that's decentralized, and it's in the community, and the community is in the campus. So really, you can walk around and you'll see a university building, and then you'll see something else, and you'll see another university building, and it'll all just be interspersed.
Belinda Hartwig with the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce. The challenges and the problems of a bustling, booming downtown, that's a problem a lot of cities would like to have, wouldn't it?
It is indeed. And no successful community across the United States is successful without a vibrant downtown. And as an earlier caller mentioned about having a sense of place and having that culture in place is very important, not only for tourists and for residents, but businesses as well. So over the last few decades, we've seen a growth in the downtown area and a renewed attraction to downtown residential and businesses. So we had not seen a high rise in a few decades until recently. And now when you look downtown from here, you can see scaffolding everywhere and reinvestment downtown.
One criticism, Belinda, that downtown has had over the decades is that we're only paying attention to it for the benefit of the tourist. Tourism is a big part of San Antonio's economy, but that doesn't really seem to be what this plan is all about.
And part of the planning process was having community stakeholders, like those of us around the table, identify opportunities for residents and employers downtown. So, for example, crosswalks, sidewalks, retail, transportation, all of those things are important for those of us who live and work downtown on a daily basis.
So let me take a caller. This is for Patrick. And Patrick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is, how are you addressing affordable housing in these areas that you have designated for high density? I do quite a bit of development myself. I'm an active investor and work with several investors as a licensed agent. So, right, I see it. I deal with it. Sometimes it's really difficult to try and get things put into place. And, you know, a part of all this is simply just what opportunities are afforded to us as developers or investors to put our money into something that we know that we can actually turn, because not everybody is receptive all the time when we try and put projects together.
All right. Thank you for that great call. So let's go to Jacob Floyd, City Planning Coordinator on this.
So as people more and more want to live downtown, and as demand continues to grow, we need to make sure that we can create as well as maintain affordable housing options, as well as market rate options downtown. People want to live downtown. Success for this in the future is tied at least in part to continuing implementation of San Antonio's housing policy framework. And this includes recommendations for continuing incentive programs. We already have several incentive programs for housing downtown that have a focus on affordability. Or have a component of affordability. Continuing to do that is going to be key. We can also do things like leverage publicly owned land to support housing growth. I think the Continental Hotel project that has been getting some coverage lately is a good example of that.
And Belinda Hartwig with the Chamber of Commerce, how do you hear from people who have property downtown? They want to do things with that property. They need help working with the city in order to make sure they're able to accomplish their goals.
And we do work quite closely with the Economic Development Department of the city as well as the Housing Department. And affordable and workforce housing is important to our chamber as well. We do want to ensure that there is growth for all, opportunity for all. And so the incentives we followed quite closely over the last couple of years and how they were reframed in order to support the people who live in neighborhoods. So if investment is going into the neighborhood, how do you then incorporate those citizens into the workforce, into the educational system? And I think you're seeing some examples of that down at Brooks, down at Port San Antonio, with the way that they've been revitalized and educating in those areas of town as well.
And Charisse, can you talk about how all this downtown, how long have you been in Lavaca?
Since 2002.
How have you seen it change?
Dramatically. So Lavaca used to be a very low-income area. That's when I first lived there. It was the only place in the city I could afford, and I could actually rent a house at a very low rate.
Were the courts still there?
The courts had just come down. So it was vacant land. There were a lot of squatters in the area, but it was vacant land. The neighborhood obviously has changed dramatically in that time period. It's become very expensive. We talk a lot about affordable housing. I like to use the term attainable. So for your average young professional who has a job but maybe very not well paying, they're looking for a place to live, and it's becoming harder to do that in Lavaca. However, we do have Saha property, and so we have two very large apartment complexes that are mixed. So there's market rate, there's and low-income housing and workforce housing in those apartments. There's another development that should be started in the next couple of months, as well as a 9-story tower that's 100% Saha for elderly or disabled individuals, which is vacant at the moment because they're refurbishing it. So we do still have a fair amount of low-income housing, but it's been a huge issue for our neighborhood because we really don't want people pushed out of their homes.
And how are y'all going to work towards that?
Yeah, that's a big question. the issue really is property taxes and investors that come to usually older folks come to their doors, bang on their doors repeatedly, insisting that they need to sell their property. And these folks are struggling. So as a neighborhood, we've said, at least come to us that we can tell them off for you. We can say, no, you don't have to sell your house. I've had an owner tell me, they keep telling me that I have to sell. I don't have a choice. And no, you have a choice. You don't.
So these are very aggressive.
Very aggressive tactics that the investors are using.
This is not a public official.
It's not a public official. The thing is, a lot of these folks don't realize it's not a public official because the person comes in very, very well dressed, very official, very demanding, and it can be tough for these folks.
And who are these people?
The people coming in, they're investors. They want to buy the property so they can often tear down the house. So in the historic area, they can't tear it down, but there's a large part of our neighborhood that it's a little bit easier to tear down a property, and that's what they want to do so they can build large developments.
Well, some of these homes that you have in the Lavaca neighborhood, they look maybe not like they're not mansions, but they're homes that have been there for over 100 years.
Exactly. My house was built in 1908, and when we bought it, the organization across the street wanted to tear it down. They had tried to buy it to tear it down for a parking lot. About a year later, it got declared historic, and then we bought it and fixed it up. It did probably look like it should be torn down to some people, but we've turned it into a very wonderful, livable house.
There's an SAISD property there, right?
There is an SAISD property there. They have sold that property to Silver Ventures. They are going to be there for a couple more years while their new property gets built. Silver Ventures has said they're not sure yet what they're going to do with it.
But it'll likely be high density housing of some sort.
Probably high density, but it won't be high density like the Pearl. They're very attuned to the neighborhood. There's single family houses across the street, so they're not going to build a big wall of 10-story buildings right across the street.
What about traffic flow? Are you worried about that?
That's definitely an issue. We would like to promote walkability, but traffic flow is definitely a problem, and so we want to make sure there's public transportation
or
available.
Scooter flow.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking about downtown development. We're getting a lot of input here from our voicemail lines and also from our phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. What do you want to see happening with downtown? There's a lot of excitement, a lot of plans. Who has a place at the table? And hopefully it's everyone, including even if you don't live downtown, it should be part of everyone's you know, we should go there often and make it part of our life, cultural life. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this.
LGBTQ Texans in the early 20th century were harassed and prosecuted.
Even as they were being discriminated against so heavily by society and by the state and by local law enforcement, they still persisted.
A young historian explores queer Texas history on the next Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. San Antonio has a downtown that is diverse. It's thriving. It's part of our commercial center. It's rooted in rich history, and it's seamlessly connected into great downtown neighborhoods. The downtown that we want to have is one that is family-friendly, livable, and inviting, a place that retains its feel of someplace that we grew up with. It's part of our city, but reflects who we are culturally. But it's a place that we can use. If you don't live downtown, even if you live out in the boondocks, you can still come downtown and feel like it belongs to you. Also, you can work downtown. You can live downtown. And so how do we make that all happen seamlessly? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. We're now joined by Matt Brown, the CEO of Central San Antonio. And Matt Brown, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me to the conversation.
What's your take on this plan, downtown development plan?
I'm very impressed. I was fortunate enough, as was all of Central, to be a part of the process. And Jacob and his team and all of the different stakeholders, I think, did a fantastic job. And particularly, I want to commend and the people that I've engaged with in their commitment to not only the vision that's expressed there, but as some prior callers have indicated, around issues of inclusion and not just maintaining the culture of San Antonio, but celebrating it and making San Antonio, this work downtown, celebrating and growing the culture even more. And I see that as a very earnest, real, legitimate commitment that everyone's made into the plan and the implementation of the plan.
And what do you see Central San Antonio's role in doing that?
Well, at Central San Antonio, we run the PID that is really the kind of core downtown central business district. And so we will be an active implementer of components of that plan in our area. Things like, we are already beginning things like something we call Art Everywhere, bringing much more public art downtown. And another project we've initiated called Shade the Sidewalks. And as you see in the plan, there are these corridors are trying to bring much more urban forestation and more shade, because, of course, it's quite hot in the summer. And so we are picking the ball up on that right away and starting to work on improving that across the entire area. So for us, we sort of take the strategy and the large framework of that plan and start to actually make the improvements on the ground. And so we're starting right away.
All right. Matt Brown, CEO of Centro San Antonio, thanks for joining us and giving your impression, your feedback on what's happening with this downtown regional development plan. Again, our number is 210-614-8980. And we're going to hear another voicemail. And this is from James.
Yes, my name is James. I'm calling about the development issue. I wish they would just stop. San Antonio is so beautiful. I love all the old buildings. I lived in Blanco forever, and I used to just drive to San Antonio to go to the Y downtown and then just drive around town all day long looking at stuff. And the buildings and everything was so wonderful, and it's just all disappearing.
Okay, so that is a take that some people have. They're concerned that we're going to be sacrificing a lot of the historic features that we have of downtown to create something new and spiffy. Ben Perry, with Assistant Vice President for Facilities Planning and Development and Architect, University Architect at the University of Texas at San Antonio. How do you see us keeping what we have downtown that is historically significant, architecturally important, and still moving forward with these plans?
That's a question that an architect loves to give, loves to get and loves to answer. There's no denying that San Antonio has a rich architectural historic fabric, and the desire of UTSA is simply to enhance what's already there. We don't have a desire to tear anything down. The growth areas that we have on our own master plan are areas, right, mostly are just empty lots where we would add new buildings. And those buildings we envision would incorporate the historic look of San Antonio so that when someone comes here, a student, faculty, staff, visitor, you know you're in San Antonio. You don't just come and you don't have a sense of where you are. So it's very important to us that the San Antonio, the feel of San Antonio is preserved.
And is the groups like the Conservation Society, Jacob Floyd, you're the city planning coordinator, do they have a voice in this?
Absolutely. They were part of our planning team as well.
And their concerns are, you know, can you kind of help me with what they want?
I think James, kind of to James' point, there's a lot of people that are concerned that as San Antonio grows citywide, we might lose something in our character that we already have. I think going back to a comment that was made earlier, it's really celebrating that character kind of guiding its evolution as well. San Antonio, the fact is that San Antonio is growing. And we have to plan to accommodate that growth in some way. And growing around these areas that are already organized with employment and well connected to the rest of the city is the most sustainable way to do that.
Got an email from Joseph saying that the downtown area is an absolute food desert for residents. And I'm going to go to Nancy, and she's got a similar question. Nancy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if there were any plans for a downtown grocery store or even a big box retailer like Walmart or Target that has they usually have grocery sections in them.
Okay. All right. Nancy, so let me go over to Charisse. She's the president of the Lavaca Neighborhood Association. And, I mean, there's HEBs right there, right?
So first, I agree it is a bit of a food desert. We do have HEB, SoFlo HEB, which we love and I think has become more popular than even
HEB
intended.
But it's a poquito.
It's great. I love the size. I wish there was more groceries. It really is stocked on prepared foods, and they've been playing with the format quite a lot. We don't necessarily need bigger stores. We need more stores. So it's a little bit more than a mile from my home, which I can walk to. I can't carry a whole lot. There's a whole other stretch of area further in South Lavaca that would be perfect for another grocery store that would serve a lot of the near south side, like Roosevelt Park and the south side of Lavaca. That would be just as popular. There's definitely a need for more grocery stores of that site. We don't need an HEB Plus. We would love to have a little bit more of SoFlo that focuses a little bit more on groceries and less on the prepared foods.
And Jacob Floyd, doing this planning, you're looking at all these dry cleaners, all these just service industries that could help local residential population feel at home.
Right. We heard that a lot, that a lot of demand for stuff like grocery stores and other resident serving services. And it's something that we don't have a lot of right now, be it in the downtown core or neighborhoods like Lavaca and Roosevelt Park and stuff like that. Charisse makes a good point. It doesn't have to be a big grocery store, doesn't have to be a big dry cleaner or commercial center. These need to fit into the scale and the context of the area that we already have.
Another caller, let's go to Gilles. Gilles, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I moved to San Antonio about 4 years ago and bought a home in the downtown area. I was absolutely in love with San Antonio. In the 4 years, the difference in what I was paying in taxes when I bought the house and now is $6,000 a year. I now pay more in taxes every month than I do in principal. And so today, I put my home on the market. I'm selling and I'm leaving. My question is that reasonable? And that's including the homeowner's exemption and all that stuff. Is it reasonable to expect homeowners to pay $6,000 more a year in taxes, that they could just absorb that?
All right. Gilles, thank you for that call, and I'm sure you're expressing a sentiment that many people have. Let's go to the Chamber of Commerce for their response on that. Belinda Hartwig, I'm sure you get that from some of your members.
We do. We get that from residents and also from businesses. And it's certainly one thing that we work quite closely with the city on, as well as the state. Of course, we don't have state taxes, which is great income taxes, but we offset that with property taxes. So we are constantly looking at ways to balance that, the need that we have for infrastructure growth, for planning for transportation, for all of our natural resources. So really long-term planning and how we balance that with the increase in taxes. So it's certainly something that we're working on and we're taking a look at locally and at the state and federal level as well.
Yeah, this is the big gut bomb question that sits in the middle of the table when people look at and try and figure out what, and the solving it is going to be something that's going to require the big leaders of the city and the state working together. But is this something that y'all talked about, Jacob Floyd, that the success of downtown is just going to raise property values and force people to leave? And you're going to end up with a problem like a lot of communities like Portland and other have, where your workforce is going to have to basically commute change bed sheets and bus tables.
Right. It's a concern we heard a lot. It's not specifically a downtown issue. I think that downtown, because of the high demand to live there, is probably seen or been impacted by that a little bit more than other parts of the city. Speaking as a homeowner, I don't know if anybody else here would agree with me. My taxes have gone up every year for the last several years as well. So it is a citywide issue. And to your point, how do we address that? And it really is a much bigger issue than specifically a downtown plan. It's going to involve coordination with the city and the state.
But taxing districts, there is a downtown taxing district, right?
There's a public improvement district, which Centro, San Antonio, something else. I think there's some others as well.
Yeah, so the concern is like whether or not there's going to be more there than other places, and if that needs, there needs to be greater sensitivity to that. And if that's just part of the incentive plan, whether or not to how to throttle or tap the brakes on those things. We're going to take another break and we'll come back. We've got more callers and questions. We're talking about the future of downtown development. What do you want to see downtown? The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking about planning for the future of downtown. Let me go over to Ben Perry. You're the UTSA architect. And when we do these types of planning, are we planning for the downtown that we want today, or are we planning for the downtown that we think we're going to need in the future?
I think the answer is a little bit of both,
because transportation needs are going to change dramatically in the next 20, 30 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the downtown we want today, one of the immediate goals that we've achieved is to have the West Side Community Center open. So for greater collaboration, communication in terms of, things like self-driving cars and multimodal transportation and so on. We're keeping a very close eye on that, on the developments of that technology. We currently have adequate parking, more than adequate parking downtown, so we don't feel a pressure right now to add any more parking or parking garages. As those technologies develop, we're hopeful that the combination of the city's thinking and the planning about multimodal transportation with bikes and walking and scooters, however that shakes out,
and hoverboards, who knows what's going to be in the future,
that there's all kinds of transportation. We have such a diverse population that's coming to downtown and to the university, and so we're trying to be open to all of those developments. One of the developments that our president Amy initiated was to have an agreement with VIA where all of our student, staff, faculty can go between our campuses on VIA as part of their tuition, as part of being part of the university, to encourage less parking need, less reliance on the car, and hopefully more reliance on public transportation.
Yeah, we're getting ready for our move downtown, and a lot of people here at Texas Public Radio are wondering what our parking situation is going to be like. Hopefully it'll be painless, that's one of the uncertainties that a lot of people have about downtown. So, Jacob Floyd, can you sort of talk about, you know, how traffic is being considered, how parking is being considered, you know, all these use issues that people really want to know is a turnkey solution before they make investments.
Right. So like Ben said, we have an abundance of parking downtown today.
Going a lot of people will disagree with that.
That's true. A lot of people will disagree with that. I think our hope is that, you know, 5-10 years from now, you're able to reliably get on a vehicle of some sort, rapid transit, and find your way from where you live to downtown or downtown to someplace else. And coordinating our planning with VIA, as we've done a pretty good job of, I think, is going to be key to that, because land use decisions and transportation decisions are inherently tied to each other. How you move around and what the development looks like are inseparable.
And Belinda Hartwig with the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, do you hear concerns about traffic from people with, you know, who are downtown? I know when they're talking about all this Alamo stuff, we're going to close another street. You know, people say, well, let's, you know, we need our downtown streets, right?
We do, but we also need wider sidewalks, and we just need more access. So this extends beyond downtown. We have got great investment, as I mentioned, all of the development across Houston Street from the east to the west, with bioscience going in just east of 37 to, you know, the tech corridor over on West Commerce. It's great. I think having multimodal is really something that will help us and offer flexibility. And I think ultimately people are going to do what works best for them to get them from their home to their job and out to entertainment.
And as we build our downtown, are we still keeping an eye on how we're going to make sure that it is as accessible for people who have mobility issues? Because, you know, that's always been a concern.
Certainly. I'd point out that anybody who gets off of a bus immediately becomes a pedestrian. And you have to have the ability to get to a bus stop or to a ride share or an autonomous vehicle or even where you're parking. So making sure that someone that has a disability is able to move around downtown is essential.
So what are we looking at for a time frame? This downtown that we're talking about today, when are we going to see it? Ben?
The downtown that we want to see, I think we're going to see in incremental chunks as bond issues are put out and constructed as a result of the city's planning and in collaboration with the university and other community partners. So I think as you see 5-year periods go by, you're going to see very visible improvements. But also, it doesn't have to wait that long. I mean, you know, programs like this on TPR help the community to have a voice, and some things can happen quicker, like installing better street lights or
more shade,
adding street trees, or advocating for public art throughout the downtown. Those don't have to wait for a bond. Some of those can be done on a very incremental grassroots level.
And with the UTSA plan for the expansion of the downtown campus, what's the timeline look like?
Well, the timeline that's laid out in our master plan is roughly about anywhere from a 20 to 40 year timeline. It doesn't really in our document say this will be done at this time for this particular college and that's it. It's a set of guiding principles, very similar to the city's plan that guides our development based on how we develop academically.
And Jake Floyd, how do you see this time? How's it unfolding?
So the plan doesn't have any prescriptive timeline on implementation. It's more of an aspirational framework for decision-making going forward. So like Ben said, some of the projects are on a large scale will require a bond measure in the future. But others will happen organically, like activating spaces with new businesses, putting in public art, shade improvements.
And green space and green meeting spaces and places where you can have community interaction. That's all part of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you need to have those sort of spaces to have a successful neighborhood. And we look at downtown and the surrounding area as discrete neighborhoods.
And so, I mean, the assets that downtown has with like Hemisphere Park and other public areas that we have, Market Square, and that seemed like that's a lot to work with.
There is. It's a pretty asset-rich area in terms of gathering spaces and recreational spaces. But as we grow, we need to consider adding more as well. And it's a challenge because downtown is largely built out. There's not a whole lot of room to add new parks and new spaces like that. So we need to be creative in how we consider doing that in the future. It could be improving areas within a sidewalk that are accessible for children to play in potentially, or looking at making sure that new development includes some sort of recreational or gathering space.
And cultural programming as well. I mean, there's nonprofits that are willing to do that.
Absolutely.
And they help keep downtown, you know, vibrant and alive. It's not just a set of places. It's the people who occupy that and use that. And Charisse, with the Lavaca Neighborhood Association, what are your concerns? What is your top concern? What do you want to make sure everyone hears loud and clear right now?
I want to make sure that development is compatible with the community. That doesn't mean that it needs to be single family homes, but that the density is appropriate and it incorporates traffic patterns and wider sidewalks for that increased density so that the people that are already living there can be appropriately accommodated and will be more welcoming to the new folks that come in. And we do like commercial development for elements of daily living, like grocery stores, bookstores, tool shops, all those things that we use on a regular basis.
And are you feeling like your concerns are being heard and they're being recognized, addressed?
I might let you know in a couple hours after city council meeting today. No, I do think, I think SA Tomorrow worked with us very closely to incorporate our concerns. And in fact, Jacob listened to us yell at him for a couple of hours one night to incorporate the concerns of the community. So I do think they're being heard. And we appreciate the city leaders listening to those concerns, not just of Lavaca, but of all the downtown residents.
Yeah, Dignity Hill, the Lone Star area, all the way up to the missions. And so, Jacob Floyd, how do you, I mean, it's not just giving them lip service and saying, oh, yeah, I heard that, and then go about your business. I mean, you are, that is part of the process.
Absolutely. Every neighborhood that was part of this plan has their own piece of this, a neighborhood profile and priority section that talks about what those priorities are.
And Belinda Hartwig, with the Santa Tuta Chamber of Commerce, you see, like, the successful measure of success. Is this about creating jobs and making sure that people have an exciting place to go to work downtown? I mean, this is about, because this is the commerce center.
You're absolutely right. And it is all of that. It is in continuing to support tourism, but it's also making San Antonio and the downtown San Antonio a great place to work and a great place to live.
Yeah, but, you know, if you work in the tourist industry, if you're bussing tables, waiting tables, mixing margaritas, or making beds and doing things in all of these hotel rooms, you know, you have to work downtown. And it's not just, you know, and you getting to and from your job shouldn't be a problem for all the rest of downtown, right? I mean, you're a hardworking guy.
You're absolutely right. And that's why two of our major priorities for this year and continuing beyond that are affordable housing, accessible housing, and education. So ensuring that our employees in the city can stay in the city and don't have to leave here to find great jobs.
All right. And I want to thank all of our guests for us joining us as we talked about the Downtown Regional Development Plan. Jacob Floyd is the City Planning Coordinator and Project Manager for the Downtown Plan. Also with us, Benjamin Perry, Assistant Vice President for Facilities Planning and Development and University Architect at University of Texas at San Antonio, member of the Downtown Development Plan. Also with us is Charisse Rohr Allegrini, the president of the Lavaca Neighborhood Association and member of the city's planning commission, and Belinda Hartwig, the vice president of economic development for the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce and member of the planning team. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.